This is Dojo Live, Tech Without Borders, stories that bring us together. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Dojo Live. This Tuesday, November 7th, 2023. My name is Kim Lantis, and it's my pleasure to be co-hosting today along with America Guerrero.
Hello, everybody. Nice to see you again, Marcelo.
Nice to see you guys.
Yes, and Marcelo, for those of you who don't know, we did have the pleasure to speak with Marcelo prior to this, so it's great. Our guest today is Marcelo. Marcelo Biculo, who is the founder and CEO of Travel Cash. Marcelo, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing all about your company and your words of wisdom here in Dojo Live.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me, and I hope we have a great talk.
I'm sure that we will. You know, today we're going to be talking all about direct booking strategy and this dilemma of cashback versus discounts, what we're used to, where things are headed, and of course, what this means for the hospitality industry, how hotels can improve direct sales as a result. And this is, of course, without compromising their margins and competing with those OTAs, online travel agencies. But before we get to that topic, Marcelo, we'd really like to get to know you a bit better. What's your story and how did this lead up to Travel Cash?
Well, that's a... I would say it's a great way to start because I started my whole career in the hospitality industry, and then I shifted into loyalty programs where I created my own consulting company and management company of different sorts of loyalty. In 2015, I launched a program called All Points Travel, where addressed specifically this pain of independent hotels all over the world that struggle in paying a lot of commission into major players like the OTAs. That's a little bit about me. I'm passionate about it. And now we're just launched Travel Cash, which is kind of a last chapter of this journey.
That's super exciting. I mean, to have that history behind you of one foot on both sides of the fence, of course, it's going to make for a very powerful tool. So tell us all about Travel Cash. What is it exactly that you're doing and the problem that you're solving?
Yeah, well, making a long story short, Travel Cash is a travel fintech. We created a unique way of approaching this issue, which is enhanced direct bookings for our hotel partners, as well as other partners that we are addressing right now. And how we do that? We go by trading the word discount for cashback. And we created a cashback that doubles the value of discount. So this is the main, pain point and solution. We created one single product, which is a kind of a checking account where you have like a banking service to use your travel credits. And these travel credits can be used anywhere in the world for any airline, for any hotel, for any attraction. So it's very tangible, just like money, but it can be only used for traveling. So this is the beauty of it.
Yeah, consciously for me, cashback is more attractive than discount. It's like, oh, you have my attention.
Which is a really interesting conversation because for me, it kind of works the opposite. I guess I'm
really
more of one of those instant gratification, or I have my budget and know what I can work with now versus later. So I think maybe that's a very interesting conversation that we can sort of kick off with in terms of loyalty programs, maybe some of the history there, why they started in the first place, how they've evolved over time, and what that means. Like even this conversation we're having right now with the traveler and the different users, how have hotels had to adapt over the years?
That's a great question. I believe that really started a very long time ago. The travel industry has been pulverized since its beginning, right? When we think about hotels, 90% of the hotels are independent. So we're talking about 90% out of 600,000 hotels all over the world. And in order for them to promote themselves, they already rely on the intermediaries. So it's not a new thing. OTAs, of course, are newer than that, but always the relationship between third parties and the hotel has been there forever. And what we are seeing today is something that's unbalanced, and that's where we are addressing. We can see that hotels are using discounts in a way that doesn't create value, kind of depreciates the value perception of that certain product, and even damages the relationship that that hotel has with other third parties. So we understand that third parties, whenever a hotel makes an agreement, they set up a certain margin, a certain rate that can be promoted at the, through that third party. And that is going to be kind of a challenge where they have to be on the same level of their commercial approach to the end consumer. So when we see that there is an agreement that is signed between the hotels and this third parties that is that complies a rate parity. So it demands that you have to apply the same rate to your booking channel as well as to a third party booking channel. So that said, discount is something really damages relationships and damages the value perception. So that's why we're trading into cashback. And cashback maintains the rate positioning and creates value for an extra credit for your next trip. And if the hotel would apply a cashback at their own property, that would create a certain attractiveness. But when you talk about the OTAs, they are creating their own loyalty solutions and their own ways to attract people to the third party. And that really becomes sort of a competition that you always, the hotel is going to lose because they have all the hotels in the world into one single platform. Mm-hmm.
And that absolutely makes so much sense because going back to me, apparently I'm a cheapskate. Most of the time when I'm using things like Expedia or, you know, whatever it might be, I'm always like, okay, where do I want to go? More or less where I want it to be. And then in terms of like near the airport or whatever. And then I'm immediately like filtering by price. And then I'll kind of take a look at like the customer satisfaction scores and like probably discount like the those look kind of scary. And then I'll sort of land on that like cheapest, but I'm not going to die there kind of option. And so you're right. Like in that terms, and that's usually my go-to. Very rarely do I care exactly which hotel it is. But I keep coming back to Expedia.
Yeah. And from the traveler point of view, I think we are addressing something that whenever you get a discount and you use it, you forget about the discount. But when you get a cashback, you have something that can really create a new experience out of that new budget that you're creating for your next trip. So it's exciting, you know, because you're kind of automatically saving some money for your next trip. So that is really something that you value.
Yeah. And then I guess there's this incentivizing of true loyalty because then you have something in your brain that says, I have to use this.
Yeah. Oh, I'm obligated to use it.
Marcelo, before we continue, we have a question from the audience. So this one goes, but Jorge Chavez, thank you for sharing. What do you mean with hotel is independent?
It's a good question. When we say independent, it means that it's not related to a large hotel chain, you know, like the Marriotts and the Hiltons and the Hyatts, where everyone knows because they are international brands. When you talk about an independent hotel, it might be the best hotel in the city, but it's an independent hotel that doesn't relate to any major hotel chain. And that's 90% of the hotels in the world. So it's really interesting to see that even some regional hotel chain with sometimes with 50 hotels or 100 hotels are very regionalized. And we consider them independent hotels as well.
That makes a lot of sense. So let's talk about, you know, these chains and let's deep pockets versus these independent hotels. Is there this pressure that independent hotels feel like they need to be creating their own loyalty programs or not? What does that look like? And why is it that, you know, programs and products like Travel Cash have this niche?
Yeah, this is really interesting because we have been working in the loyalty industry as well for a while. And I have talked to many hotel owners that desire to have their own loyalty program. And sometimes I like to say it's very emotional thinking, like they see like the major chains with their own loyalty and they want to have the same. But now the game has changed in a certain level that it doesn't make sense for you to invest into having a loyalty program for a small hotel chain. Mainly because your main competition is now an OTA that has all the hotels in the world, and they deliver a great experience, easy to use, great price, and also a loyalty platform. So this is a competition that's unfair from the sense of rational, right? But when you think about someone that wants to engage a relationship with their own client, then I like to say, so it's not a loyalty program, it's a relationship program. So you're building something to make them feel recognized. And by recognition, you can add on some rewards, you know, like upgrades or benefits or anything that you want to address, even discounts. I've seen that happening. And what we understand that we just want to apply our solution, Travel Cash, to trade discounts into cashback that adds value to the user and adds value to the business. But in the sense is anybody could have, but mm-hmm. it doesn't make sense anymore.
What is the role for banks in this scenario? Because I know that they can give you a royalty program for the user. For example, I have in my app with my bank app that I have some discounts or I have some like credits that I can use with the specific hotels. Are they your competitors, but also your partners in terms of cash flow? How does that work?
Well, banks, they have really played a major part on the loyalty scenario. Without the banks, that wouldn't be able, people wouldn't be able to have such access to miles and points that they have experienced in the past, I would say 20, 30 years. But the banks also want you to be loyal to their platform. So that's their main goal, is for you to keep using their credit card. That's why they say, here, your points never expire. Of course, it never expires because you pay the bill every month. So you keep an active account, your points and miles are not never going to expire. But if you close your account, if you close your credit card, then bye-bye, exactly. You lose everything at once. So they really build a solution into creating added value. So they give you opportunity for you to use special services at the airport, special deals at certain resorts, you know, all to make their card different from the next door bank. Mm-hmm.
So let's dive a bit deeper now into Travel Cash and how this works, because earlier in the show, you mentioned two things. Okay, cash back versus discounts for cheapskates like me. But cash back and this ability to use, you know, in the future and not just at a hotel, but in a variety of travel experiences, whether that's transportation or entertainment, and I'm sure other things. And you also, I believe, said the word double. How does this work?
Yeah, this is the secret sauce, I would say. We are actually creating a double value for everything that the hotel is giving back to the user. So if, for instance, they're giving 10% discount, we turn into 20% cash back. And people ask me, how are you turning $1 into $2, right? How what's the magic, you know? Mainly, what we are doing is creating immediate value for the hotel to engage and perform better at their direct bookings. And this is our first job, and the most important.
Which means not paying out commission.
Exactly, because then it creates an actual benefit that can be perceived from the user saying, hey, if I book directly, I'm going to get a better deal than what I'm getting at the OTAs. And we are co-investing.
The hotel's not actually shifting anything because there's going to have to give away this money somewhere, right? Whether that's a commission to the OTA or in the form of cash back. but it allows for them to lower or to up the ante, let's say, for the end user.
Exactly. They don't have to pay anything extra for that. We are paying for the added value, and they can actually make a decision that if they trade 10% discount into 10% cashback, so the same amount, they're actually improving their result because they're only paying us 5%. So that means that they can really use this tool however they want it, either to create attractiveness or to improve their margins. So it's really a good deal from the hotel standpoint. From the user standpoint, that has to be liquid, has to be tangible, has to be easy to use. So maybe the person has to has an interest to purchase a bus ticket or a train ticket or an air ticket. So it doesn't matter. If we make it easy for them to book using that credit, then they really gonna shift from third parties to direct bookings.
Is there a use case that you can share with us, with the public, of how with Travel Cash you have been able to improve those numbers with guests in hotels or users utilizing an OTA, or something that you can share with us so we can be familiarized with of how you are helping companies out there?
Yeah, of course. We have been doing that for the past 8 years in Brazil, and now we are moving internationally. So we're going to enter different markets. But I would say the challenge is the same. What we see is that about 50% of our regular hotel are frequent guests. And what's happening is that those frequent guests are actually being frequent at intermediaries. And this is the opportunity. We can see that whenever you have a good offer for your current client to shift from the intermediary to be direct bookings, that's a huge save. And what we monitor. So we can show the hotels how many people we have shifted from direct bookings, from intermediaries into direct bookings, maintaining a frequent business, but not on an expensive channel. So this is really measurable and is something that hotels sometimes are negligent about it because they are not monitoring customer behavior. And that's what we add value. So now with Travel Cash, it's really easy to measure how we deliver because it's zero cost and we added value every time they use it. So it's a lot simpler than we did in the past 8 years. So that's why we're so excited about it.
That is exciting. And it is one of those, it almost sounds too good to be true, yet it makes perfect sense. And it's like, I can understand this. I'm following this. Now, when it comes to this cash back and other partnerships, like with travel or with experiences, what's this been like for you building out this network, you know, coming from a background in hotels, coming from a background in loyalty, and now having to still within, you know, travel, hospitality industry, but a little bit of a shift? What does this work for the other partners that you're utilizing, and what's that adventure been like for you?
Well, it's been very challenging, you know, and of course we had the pandemic during this period of time, and all the hotels closed, and for our company to remain live was a tremendous challenge. But I would say it's something that really engaged me on a personal level because I see the pain, I see the issue, I see the purpose of our company always a major challenge for the hotels. And that really drives me. And when I started looking at other businesses like theme parks, and now we are looking even to retail, it's important that everyone loves travel. And this is really a sexy subject. When we talk about traveling, people like brighten their eyes and like are really excited. We see a lot of opportunity. We are in a sector that builds a lot of opportunities because of people's passion, as well as challenges that the industry has by being so pulverized. So there is a tremendous opportunity to remain in this sector, and that's what drives me to be a part of the solution making.
Yes, and also something that I read, maybe that has changed, so audience, don't be rude with me, but something that I read is that with the economic recession in the United States, the hospitality travel industry is something that is going to be stable, right? It's not going down, so that gives you like a good scenario for the industry, for the company, so that's great to know, right?
Well, it's amazing to hear that. I would say that the pandemic made us really rethink everything, because usually the tourism industry relied on the past to predict the future, right? And through the pandemic, we realized that we couldn't rely on the past anymore. Everything was being redesigned and redefined. So how to play, how to define a budget, you know, because maybe America was a tremendous frequent flyer or frequent traveler, but now things have changed. And that really made us be more humble into, okay, let's do baby steps and really retouch this matters and be more open-minded for new solutions.
You know, it's really interesting because I think it's going back to the user as well. And this shift that's surprising because with a recession and with people, you know, inflation, and I have my, you know, prices are going up, but my income's not going up and I've got to make ends meet. But then there's this strange dynamic coming out of the, this is my perspective, okay? I don't have any studies to back this up. But then coming out of the pandemic, I think that people are just like, I need to get away. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to figure this out no matter what. We're going to travel. We're going to see, we're going to experience. And I think there's also this mental shift of just what experience means. And perhaps this eye opener, maybe it's temporary, maybe it's not, of like, you only live once, right? Exactly. So like, I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to see what I want to see. I'm going to do what I want to do, because we don't know anymore. And so I think in terms of economic stability, it matters a little less to us. Like, we're willing to kind of take that risk, but trying to play it smart, you know, with things like Travel Cash.
Makes total sense. And we see that the new generations that are entering the market, we see that there is a need for an immediate indulgence, immediate benefits that really makes you see the life as you wish to make the best out of it right now. And so, of course, people are traveling more frequently and saving money for traveling. So this is really interesting. Mm-hmm. I see Travel Cash kind of becoming a savings account for traveling.
I love it. You need to work that into your marketing in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, I'm not trying to hijack your show, Marcelo, but it's a great segue into what we do actually have coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow's conversation is going to be with Katya Alexander. She's a product designer with Encora, and it's all about how she used UX research to better understand the Gen Z traveler, right? Exactly this generation that we've been talking about, what it can mean for products and how, you know, we might be able to adapt accordingly in order to get them to use, you know, those digital products and services a bit more. So definitely tune in for that one tomorrow, guys, 10 a.m. Pacific on Dojo Live.
I won't miss it.
All right. I love it. Love it to hear it. So, you know, it's an extremely interesting conversation. How do you see, is there like a gap between when people are utilizing now this cash back? You alluded to this instant gratification. Does this expire? I mean, what does this look like in terms of then utilizing the making money out of nothing?
That's really interesting, because we mapped all the struggles and the frictions of people's experience with other loyalty programs and other methods of engagement. And we understood that points and miles create something that really frustrates people, because you don't know how much it's worth, right? And that's where cashback really entered and created a value perception really great. The second thing was expirations, right? Because you're planning your trip and all of a sudden you realize you lost a whole bunch of miles and points. And people were frustrated because they felt like they were not notified, or if they had some way to
lie to you, deceived, which does the absolute opposite of loyalty.
Exactly. So we created a way that could balance both. We created an expiration date of 1 year, but if you just access your account, you revalidate for another year every time. So that can really make it last forever if you just enter your account once a year.
Hmm. Signs of life. That's all you need.
Yeah, exactly. You just have to say, hey, let me look at you. You know, I remember you. You're important to me. So then we keep your travel budget like always ready for you.
I also imagine that maybe in the future, I don't know if this already exists, but in terms of loyalty and having an app, being a user, it's also fun to see your information or the things that you can do or the discounts or credit or those loyalty things that you can get in your app, that this could have like a video game format. So it's easier for everybody. And it's something that I think we had a conversation, right, Gabe, in this show, in Do You Live? About how to make user, I don't remember. I don't know why I have
perhaps
that in my mind.
No bells are ringing, but that's not enough.
Yeah.
Hey, in America, you make a lot of sense in saying that has to be fun. You know, it has to be easy, has to be simple. You know, people don't like to think too much to make use of things, right? So you sometimes you love one solution just because it makes your life easier and simpler, not because it is adding any extra value to it. So I believe that every company should pay a lot of attention into the experience you're driving for your most frequent users and create a dialogue in order to make continuous improvement to the experience you're providing. And I like to say that you shouldn't be passionate about your solution. You should be passionate about the pain, about the challenge. Because that really makes you always keep improving and creating an engagement. And I see gamification, of course, a great way to engage part of your customers as well.
I think that's a really interesting word of wisdom, because perhaps if we pay too much attention to the solution, we can get tunnel vision, right? And to keep the eye on the pain, which is can evolve right over time, is going to guarantee a better product. With that train of thought, we've just got a few minutes left on the show. Words of wisdom, Marcelo, what might you say to other people like you, you know, in the hospitality industry who have an idea, have a product, you know, want to pivot or whatever it might be? What's worked well for you and what might you have done differently in this journey?
What I've seen in the past, I would say a couple of years, is a great move that prior to that I wasn't seeing, which is hotels and solutions getting together and discussing together about what should be done and what opportunities there are, how we can create some things, you know, and this is a really a change of culture. And I believe from the entrepreneur side, it's really challenging because you have goals to meet and support to have, you know, so it really should open up and make more connections as possible. And of course, with the ones that think alike, you know, maybe not the whole market, but a few ones that are going to really see you as a connection to create value along their solutions as well. And this is really for free, you know. So that's something that I always motivate new entrepreneurs to make connections and do a lot of partnerships, because this really makes you jump to another level without having the money to spend if you don't.
And I love that. That's all about community, all about connection, which is, I think, the heart about travel and hospitality in general, right? Experience, seeing something new, creating relationships, lasting memories. It's perfect. With that, I'm going to do another shameless plug talking about networking. The sponsor of Dojo Live is Ancora, and next week we will be networking at the Focusrite conference in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So yeah, will you be headed there?
I wish. Unfortunately, this time I'm not going to be able to go to Focusrite, but I really love the event, and it's great that you guys are going to be there, and I really look forward to the next edition.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Marcelo, now last question. If there is a hotel or a partner who's looking to get a hold of you and see how Travel Cash can turn $1 into two, how might they go about doing that?
Yeah, as I mentioned, we are just about to enter other markets. So the first market we're entering is Mexico. And our headquarters now is in Dubai. And we're entering the UAE as well. I would say globally in a couple of years. But if you want to start talking about it, please enter travelcash.me. Get in touch with us, and our sales team will be happy to address and see how we can support you in any way.
I love it. Thank you so much. We wish you, Marcelo, and Travel Cash nothing but success as you continue building out this very innovative product in the loyalty space.
Thank you so much. And thank you, America. Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Check out past episodes, transcripts, blogs, and more on our website, dojo.nearsoft.com.